Ladies and gentlemen, the Star Wars Report podcast returns. We're talking E3, celebration news, and much more. Let's do it. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, episode 227. Man, we're steaming along. Celebration Europe's coming up soon, and it's just an all-around good time to be had. It's the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting, the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad you tuned in. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm your host, Riley Blanton, and so glad you've tuned in. We've got a great show for you guys today. A great show. In fact, it's so much has happened, and last week's podcast, we didn't even really touch on that much news because we were in the midst of the Disney and Orlando thing. And because of the nature of the way it was, we'll get into that. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, like I say. But before we get any further, without further ado, I want to bring into the program my good friend and yours. It's Mr. Marcus Thaddeus Herleman the Third. How's it going, Mark?
How are we doing, everybody?
Doing fantastic. Doing fantastic. I'm working with a bit of a new setup here, Mark. I've got the Adobe Audition running, and so hopefully everything goes well. Hopefully we're all good here. We will find out.
Yeah. I was like, normally I hear music at this time. I'm like, I wonder if that's different.
Well, trust me, the audience does. That's the important thing. And we've got a very special guest on for the whole show with us this week. He's a long, long time friend of us here at the Star Wars Report. He's been podcasting for far longer than we have, which is actually starting to say a lot now, because now I begin to feel old as people are saying, oh yeah, you started before the Disney buy. Wow, you guys have been around a long time. I'm like, okay, all right. Let me tell you who's been around a long time in Star Wars fan audio. It's Mr. Nathan P. Butler from Star Wars Fanworks, and of course here on the network, Star Wars Beyond the Films. How's it going, Nathan?
You know, when I was your age, we did our podcasting on vinyl.
Or something like that.
You did your podcasting on QuickTime is what you did.
Yeah, that is true. The first couple of episodes were edited with QuickTime, and the first couple of interviews were a cordless phone, not a wireless, but a cordless phone with a speakerphone built into the back of it, slipped underneath the microphone that was bent over as I called the person with a calling card.
That is
two turntables and a Morris cell phone.
Yeah, cell phone. What's that?
Oh man, yeah, oh, that's man. So many memories, so many memories. Nathan, it's so good to have you back on the program. As always, it's been far too long. But for you guys who don't know, Nathan's not only been big in the fan audio scene for a long time. Nathan, you're a big gamer, and we've got a lot of E3 stuff coming up a little bit later. We've got some updates for Star Wars Celebration Europe, where yours truly will be. We're even going to hear a little bit of Daisy Ridley singing, because that's the thing she does, actually, ladies and gentlemen, Daisy Ridley. And so all of this and so much more, but let's start off with the maestro, Mr. John Williams, in the news segment.
We have something to report.
Professor, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. John Williams confirmed to be returning from the horse's mouth, or at least from Steven Spielberg's mouth. He's returning for not Star Wars, though. The one that is confirmed is Indiana Jones 5. If adventure has a name, it must be Steven Spielberg confirming John Williams. So, like, this has been, the rumors have really been, ever since, of course, the Force Awakens score, rumors have been swirling for the longest time whether or not John Williams is going to return for any subsequent Star Wars films or now Indiana Jones films. And it's funny because I feel like Indiana Jones is kind of the stepchild of Star Wars now, because they're making a new movie, but it's not getting nearly the headlines that all the Star Wars stuff is. But that's right, legendary composer John Williams returning to the Indiana Jones franchise for its fifth installment. I'm very excited. In fact, guys, I think I mentioned it here on the program, but I'm a recent Indiana Jones watcher. I only watched I watched all of the films in the last 2 years. I actually finally went back. I just never saw them growing up.
Did you watch Young Indiana Jones?
No, I have not seen Young Indiana.
Don't watch all of Young Indiana Jones or you will stop being an Indiana Jones fan. Because a lot of them are really, really boring.
Was that Shia LaBeouf?
No, that was Sean Patrick Flannery.
And I was
a great indie, but some of those stories are just
in the actual movie.
Sean Patrick Flannery. Hi.
One of the Boondock Saints.
But here's the thing, though. We care about Star Wars. As exciting as that is, as much as I love the Indiana Jones. By the way, particularly the Temple of Doom score. That's my favorite one, probably, just because the da 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 da. I'm just gonna do this the whole time. But yes, Star Wars. Let's talk about the Star Wars story. He wants to return, but it hasn't been confirmed. This is from a piece in Variety, where he intends to return to Star Wars. In fact,
take this quote into consideration, that actually tells you a lot, because it said he plans to begin work on Spielberg's next film, and we've already got that confirmed.
That's true, and I forgot about that, but yeah, he plans to begin work on Spielberg's film. This is Ready Player One. How in the hot ham sandwich did I not realize that Ready Player One was a Spielberg film? I knew they were making a movie out of the book. How did I not know Spielberg? That's perfect. How did they get Spielberg to do that? I'm very excited all of a sudden. Wow, that's amazing. So he says next year he expects to do the next Star Wars film. Quote, if I can do it, I certainly will. I told Kathy Kennedy I'm happy to do it. But the real reason is I didn't want anyone else to be writing music for Daisy Ridley.
You sly dog.
John Williams.
Well, he's going to have to stick around for a while, it would seem, in order to do that, though, because there's at least two more films with her. But at least, I would hope that this is the case, maybe with heavy instruments it's not, at least there's less of an opportunity for John Williams to have an accident and just kill himself than it was for, say, Harrison Ford on Force Awakens. Although, I think to get back to your question, your comment about how, you know, we're not all that excited, Star Wars fans are more excited for Star Wars, of course, than Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is sort of the stepchild. I would put any of the prequels up against Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, because Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was a mess. I think part of it is that it's not as big a cultural icon, but part of it also is people are thinking back to the last time we had old Indy, and they're thinking, ooh, is this a good idea?
Yeah, I remember when the trailer for Crystal Skull came out, and that was right around the time I was first getting involved in fandom at all online, and I remember everyone was freaking out and really excited because it was a great trailer, but when I saw the film, I was seeing it pretty much in isolation without having the years and years of expectations of the previous three films. I think the worst indie film is easily Temple of Doom. That was my least favorite, personally.
Compared to Crystal Skull?
Yep. And it's... I know.
And you youngsters.
I know. I'm just being a total millennial here. But it's so true. And the reason, I think, honestly, is because... Not to get too much of a tangent, but there's something about it that it didn't really feel like an Indiana Jones film. It felt sort of like a horror film that injected some indie in it for a few minutes. And so... But, you know, it was still very entertaining. But if I had to pick a favorite, I would have a very hard time between the first and the third. Email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, your favorite Indiana Jones film. I'd be kind of curious to see. But you also have to disclose your age, because I think that makes us biased, as we're learning here. I do hope that John Williams returns. And just because I really did like... if he returns for 8, he really needs to return for 9. If at all possible, barring a great tuba accident or something like that, as Nathan morbidly brought up, you brought it up, sir. But yes, now I'm freaking out. Thank you, sir. I'm all scared that like the harpsichord is going to tumble. We can't have any more onset or on stage accidents associated with the Star Wars production. Although, wait, what if, does this mean, though, that he would have more time to write better songs, to write better score? I mean, if the logic follows from The Force Awakens.
We're okay with him not doing the standalones, though, right? I mean, like, let somebody else come in, have an opportunity, get some little Star Wars sound then, a little kinder, maybe.
Have they confirmed? I feel like it was rumored that Alexandre, and I'm just going to say it like we good Americans say it, Alexandre Desplat. I know that's not how you pronounce it. I have no idea how you pronounce it. But he did some Harry Potter stuff, and there was rumors that he was on Rogue One. But I don't think that's confirmed. Either of you know who's... Have they confirmed who's scoring Rogue One yet?
Not that I'm aware of.
I think Desplat himself confirmed it at a point a few months ago.
I'm going to do that thing that you're not supposed to do. But
a Cineblend?
I'm just going to Google Rogue yes, One go. Composer.
Confirmed by MakingStarWars.net has a video where he confirmed it on video back in April.
Okay. This past April? Because the initial rumors...
April 11th, 2016.
Gotcha. Because I remember there was the rumor that they posted, and I think I'm looking at the same post that says, is he still composing music for Rogue One as the headline?
It's nice. He's confirmed, and he's confirmed in a way of saying that, yeah, we're talking about
it.
Yeah,
that's right. There's this
phase, and I'm one of them. So how is that a confirmation exactly?
Let's take a listen real quick.
And finally, I know you're working on Rogue One at the moment. Have you started working on the music for that?
No, that will come in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen the trailer? And are you excited?
I saw the trailer, of course. Yes. It's really exciting. Gareth is a fantastic director, and he will do a beautiful film, sure.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on this movie. Thank you very much. Pleasure. Thank you.
Now, the real question here is not about the is not about that amazing French accent. It's did he say dutiful film or beautiful film? Maybe that's why they did the reshoots. It was too dutiful. It's great. I love it. I love the accent. So yeah, Star Wars music. I mean, I am interested to see new composers take. And I would give so much. I would sell one quarter of my soul to hear a Hans Zimmer take on like a Yoda movie or something like that. That would be incredible.
I'm waiting for a the you know, kind of like there was the whole cast Ingruber as Han Solo because he's a fan favorite and he was a known quantity as someone playing a younger version of Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we would see from a musical side a push, say, for Kevin Kiner, of course, who did Clone Wars, is doing all this stuff for Rebels too. You know, do you push him out of the TV scoring realm into the feature film realm for Star Wars, or do you leave him there and sort of leapfrog him to get someone who's a bigger name in film composing?
Yeah, that's
put him in there. I mean, technically, the Clone Wars had a theatrical release, so kind of he's made that jump.
Isn't a theatrical release.
Yeah, exactly. I totally, by the way, guys, I was literally at the thrift store yesterday, like you do, and just kind of browsing around, and I have the sickness, and I saw the Clone Wars movie storybook, and I totally bought it for $1. I know.
It's right.
It's a problem. I don't know. See, Kiner's really good at, his scores for Clone Wars were very experimental. Straight from George's direction, I hear that's where we got a lot of the almost kind of rock and roll style music for the Clone Wars. And then since he's been doing Rebels, he's been almost like note perfect replicating John Williams themes throughout the series, almost too much, I'd say. But he's also he understands how to get the John Williams feel. So I think that'd be cool. But honestly, what I want to hear are new composers take. Because like Hans Zimmer gets poked fun of all the time for being too over the top with his drums and then never actually quite not being as thematic as a lot of people like, whether it's the Dark Knight score, the Inception score, or something like that. But people forget his work on the second and third Pirates movies. Whatever you think of the quality of the films, I really, really liked the soundtracks to the second and third Pirates. And those are highly thematic. And that's the kind of epic rock and roll opera style score that I'd love to hear. Not the Batman versus Superman Hans Zimmer, the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End Hans Zimmer. I would love to hear that in a spinoff film. And I think the only one that would be appropriate for would be if there was a swashbuckling Star Wars movie. I don't really know who that would fit well. Maybe if there was a smuggler movie, right? Or
Lando Calrissian.
Exactly.
Takes on Hondo.
There you go.
I would watch the crap out of a Hondo and Akko movie.
The battle of the Indio last names. Or first names. Yeah,
exactly. I'm a huge fan of the Klondathu drop on Starship Troopers, and I believe the composer for that was Basil Poldoris. Lots of brass and stuff, like just the bum, 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 bum. Like, I would love something like that with, like, you know, a Total War, like, look, kind of like how Rogue One's portrayed. But I think something like that, more land battle than space battle. I don't know.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
I think Riley hit it a second ago, though, the whole thematic thing. For some reason, I guess, maybe it's just because I tend to focus on the visuals and the storytelling rather than the music, but it's really only been a few years that I've really started listening in Star Wars films for the thematic repeats of certain tones. But The Force Awakens was a masterpiece when it came to the score having all these repeated themes. You can hear those almost more than even like the Emperor's theme or Imperial March stuff. Back with the classic trilogy repeating and even into the prequels repeating a little bit. The kind of thing that I think sort of makes Star Wars music. So whoever it is that they bring in, if it's not going to be John Williams, there needs to be someone who has a sense of, you know, constructing this as a bigger part of a whole, that you could actually listen to the soundtrack and it almost feels like one giant piece of music rather than all these separate and coherent songs. And I don't know that every composer really does that, at least not in film.
No, it's tough to do because it's the difference between, and again, I know this is a digression, but I'm so passionate about film scores, and especially in the last year or two as I've kind of had more opportunities to really get into classical music a lot and the very kind of music that inspired a lot of film composers. And there's a quality that a film composer can achieve where if their music can stand on its own. And John Williams, that's definitely the case. And it's not just because you can listen to the Imperial March and it sounds like a great, you know, theme for the bad guys. It's that if you listen to the Return of the Jedi soundtrack and you go through the final duel between Vader and Luke and you hear the choir rise really for the first time in the original trilogy score, you sense everything emotionally that's happening in the story independent of the film. And that I have that appreciation because growing up, long before I ever saw any of the Star Wars movies, all of my older siblings were very much into it. And my older sister had the soundtracks and she was playing them all the time. And I remember like reading the titles of the tracks and kind of piecing together the story in my head so that by the time I watched the film, it was just almost like layers of an opera that I just hadn't seen yet. And that's why I think the music is so important. And I think that there's plenty of room for experimentation in Star Wars. I mean, John Williams himself is fairly known for going outside the box. He did not do it so much with The Force Awakens, but think about Attack of the Clones, where you have the guitar riff in the Coruscant underworld, right? That's the kind of stuff that I would love to see them explore more and more of it. So Rogue One's going to be interesting. I'm not too familiar with Alexandre's work other than his Harry Potter stuff, and I just from watching the films, but I would love it if they're going for a big kettle drum war movie soundtrack. I really hope that they do that, and this kind of goes back to the whole reshoots thing, where I hope that the reshoots are mostly technical and that they don't try to change the thematic material of the film being a war movie first and a Star Wars movie second.
We got this loud bass, boom, boom. We need to have the scene like line up perfect. We need 5 more seconds of footage.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, when you think about replacing, you know, the man, Mr. Williams, it's like, well, who, you know, do you go with the big names? Do you go with like the Howard Shore, the James Horner? I mean, or do you just, like you were saying, go with somebody that's a little less known?
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I mean, I think you go with all of them. You rotate. You let different composers go at it.
Here's this big hat. Everybody that wants to do one, just throw your name in. We'll just pick out of the hat indiscriminately.
Yeah, exactly.
You with the recorder? No. The song flute? No.
You get a Star Wars film and you get a Star Wars film.
Well, they love having the schools and the parades. You could have a school marching band.
That's so true. That would be great.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm still taken aback though. I keep picturing Riley as a young boy,
uh-huh,
and his older siblings watching Star Wars and listening to the soundtracks and letting him read the song list and getting to Qui-Gon's noble end.
Oh, yeah.
And just screaming.
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
spoilers, you bastards!
I'm trying to remember like when I found that. They would have had to have been the soundtrack because, I remember knowing that he was going to die, but then still being surprised for some reason. It's kind of fuzzy.
Well, yeah,
going back.
You just explained it. I mean,
yeah.
Yep. That's how you found out.
Probably. It totally is. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. There are two themes that I'm most looking forward to, and then we'll move quickly into the E3 stuff. There are two themes that I want to see carried, regardless of who goes into Episode 8. We've talked about Rogue One a bit. Episode 8, we need to hear Rey's theme, but a twisted version of it. That would be great. In the same way that Luke Skywalker / the Force theme has been used in so many different ways. And I would love to hear, probably most of all, the Jedi Steps theme really become Luke Skywalker's theme in the new films. That is my favorite piece in the entire soundtrack. It is just so good. So good. But enough of nerding out about music. Let's get straight into the E3 bonanza. What is Electronic Arts Expo? No, not Arts. Electronic Entertainment Expo? There we go. I bet that's right. I think I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing was right before E3 actually began, EA held their own special press event where they unveiled their future, and a big part of that was Star Wars, and they released this amazing video. Let's take a quick listen for a second here.
The Star Wars universe is growing day by day with the comics, the films, the games, you name it, and to be a part of that and to work with Lucasfilm is incredibly exciting. So what we're really trying to do at EA is cater to different areas of the Star Wars universe and create different game experiences that are tailor-made for those fans.
So they go through each of these studios, whether it's DICE in Stockholm, Sweden, and they've got the ILM, they've got Respawn Entertainment, ILM's new VR programming. There's so much stuff here. Nathan, you're a big Star Wars gamer. Walk me through, what are you most excited about? What really stuck out to you about E3 as we kind of go through some of these announcements?
Well, really, there's two things I think that probably struck me the most, although it's an exciting time for Star Wars in games right now. One is the thing we only see the briefest clip of in that Star Wars A Look Ahead video, which is Visceral Star Wars game that's coming. Because Visceral Star Wars game... it's being done, they say, in the vein of Uncharted, which is one of my favorite game series. It's Uncharted is a cover-based third-person shooter with a hugely cinematic story, lots of set-piece events, a very entertaining series. And it's not just trying to ape that style. It's got Amy Hennig, who was the lead writer, one of the lead writers on the first three Uncharted games, aboard, trying to tell this story, and they're working hand in hand with the Lucasfilm story group much more closely than, say, with Battlefront. And we got just the briefest clip of basically this guy walking into town and looking up and seeing these, you know, flags and whatnot hanging over this somewhat desolate town. It really looks like they're, in a sense, it feels like they're going for the feel of what 1313 was assumed to be before it was, 1313's a Boba Fett game.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the concept art.
Very stoked for
right
that.
Alongside
so that's one.
That.
Two would be the relatively limited thing that we saw, but it's coming nonetheless, is Star Wars Battlefront VR, an X-Wing virtual reality mission for Star Wars Battlefront that's going to be released for free to those who already have the game if you have a PlayStation VR headset when they launch in October. The downside of that is the entry price, though, because you have to have a PS4.
Yeah.
But in order to actually use the headset that you buy, you're going to need a PlayStation camera, which is the thing that you use for streaming and whatnot. You're very likely on most games that are going to need the PlayStation Move controllers. Remember that thing that was such a kind of a joke as motion control that didn't really go much of anywhere last generation? The exact same Move controllers will be used with PlayStation VR. So how they're going to do it exactly, how the controls and everything are going to work, I haven't seen details of yet. But if you can get past the entry price and you're planning on doing PlayStation VR at some point, they do have that Battlefront content being released. And actually, when originally started...
Do we know the entry price for the VR headset yet?
I believe we do. Let me see. PlayStation VR.
Because like I'm most of the way there.
It's like $400 or something like that. Let me see.
I have Battlefront and I also have the PlayStation camera. So like I'm most of the way there. I've not bought the season pass, but I might. We're gonna talk about that in a second. I might be suckered into the season pass.
PlayStation VR. The headset itself appears to be straight from the PlayStation blog. Would appear to be, $400 US. But then you are going to need the camera, which adds about, another $100 or so or something like that on top 50, of it. It's going to cost you more to get decked out with PlayStation VR than to have bought your PlayStation 4 in the first place.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's $50, but still, it's crazy.
Yeah. But one thing they did announce, and they didn't say anything about this at E3 from what I saw, but when they announced PlayStation VR and they were talking about the upcoming games for it, this is a few months back, they talked about not just a mission for the current Battlefront. They talked about a Battlefront game for PlayStation VR. I don't know if that is still in the works, but it was something that was hinted at the time. They sort of said that and missions for the current game. Or a mission for the current game, and everybody focused on the current Battlefront's going to get a VR mission, and that's what they did at E3, and they seemed to sort of glossed over the whole, they've kind of hinted at an actual Battlefront VR game, which would be fantastic. But just the idea of being in the cockpit at this point, it's fantastic. Certainly a step up from the old Victormax Stuntmaster VR headset I had back in the day where you had to clip the little antenna onto your shoulder so that when you turned your head, it knew that you were going left and right. And it was like putting a TV really, really close to your face.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a release where it says EA has confirmed Star Wars Battlefront 2 will release next year during the company's latest earnings call. The announcement was made by EA's chief financial advisor, Blake Jorgensen, revealing plans to include content for the new Star Wars films, presumably The Force Awakens, the upcoming Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, although neither of the films was named in the call. Jorgensen also explained plans for the years or for the release of the least of at least a new Star Wars game each year for the next few years. And they said there's no exact date provided. And since it was announced for next year in the content where fiscal years and calendar years are both employed, it's not clear if Star Wars Battlefront 2 will release in the calendar year of 2017 or 2018. But the other thing there is that there's going to be a new Star Wars game each year for the next few years.
From EA.
We know that with the films, but now with that, it's like, wow.
Right, because we got Battlefront next year.
We got the Visceral
They've
Games
confirmed
thing.
The Visceral Games release for the following year.
So
and then Respawn's game will be apparently the year after that from what they're saying.
And the Respawn, in the video, that was where they were showing some mocap guys going at it, but I didn't really get... Do you know... What can you tell us about that, Nathan?
They haven't really showed very much of it, and it's an unusual thing in that Respawn really... I mean, they're kind of known for first-person shooter games.
Yeah.
So to have it be something where when you see the motion capture, unless that's for background animation or something, it looks like it's more of a combat game or maybe even a beat-em-up type of game. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. But they've got, what is the guy's name? Stig, I think, is his first name. They've got a guy on it who, if I remember correctly, was one of the lead guys for a long time on God of War, which would be an interesting push.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that would be interesting as well. Yeah. So I think of the EA stuff from that, I think the thing that I find most exciting is definitely the Visceral game, just because of seeing the concept art, knowing it's Amy Hennig. I've never played Uncharted. I plan to now that I have a PS4. And then really, honestly, just seeing Doug Chang being involved and seeing the concept art that they have for it. It just, like I say, it looks like the kind of effort that went into 1313, which we never saw, or the original Force Unleashed, which I just absolutely loved. An incredible story for that first game. So I'm just so glad that we're getting these kinds of games again after the great LucasArts massacre that
now,
happened
a
couple
years ago.
We skipped
over the one for 2016.
Which is?
LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens, which had a surprise release, actually, during E3. They announced, hey, by the way, the demo is available now, so you can actually go and play the demo of it. And it's unique in that, I mean, there's several things unique about it for Star Wars Lego games, not necessarily Lego games in general, but it's going to be the first Star Wars Lego game that has downloadable content add-ons. It's got a deluxe edition. It's got PlayStation exclusive things. So if you get the deluxe, and it's got different, it's got like a little minifigure that comes with a physical copy that you don't get if you get it digitally. So it's sort of one of those, if you want to get the best version, you need to get the deluxe edition on PS4 at this point, and you need to pre-order it to get all the other goodies. But they're really kind of beefing it up beyond just sort of the, hey kids, Lego Star Wars, buy it once, and it's all the same type of approach that they've taken before. And that comes out next month.
I didn't even realize it was that soon.
Not even next month. It's the end of this month. It's about 10 days from when we're recording this.
So as you, like, it'll be a week and a day from when this podcast goes online. I had no idea it was that soon, and I'd seen the trailer a couple weeks ago that they released, and just absolutely I mean, Lego Star Wars, it just doesn't get old. I love it. I was literally
What I wanted to talk about it, because like I was talking to my daughter about the FreeMaker stuff, and she was like totally eh. I was like, really? And she's like, actually, I think them having Lego shows is kind of tacky. And I was like, what? So them actually having a different, you know, level to the price and different content and stuff, maybe that'll be something that'll break her out of that. Because I was kind of like really shocked. Like, really?
Wait, how old is she now?
You have no interest in watching Lego FreeMakers? Like, what the hell?
What age are we talking now, Mark?
She's 13.
Okay, so she's getting a little on the older side where that might start not to be cool, you know?
Yeah. Gavin, he's 18 months younger. He's all about them Legos.
I bet.
You know what's going to be the coolest thing about this? It's probably going to draw in more people that have sort of given up on the Lego games, who are like, yeah, I played original trilogy. I played prequel trilogy. I played Clone Wars, but I'm kind of like, yeah, I played Complete Saga. So I played those other ones all over again, is the fact that this one is including new story content. And while we don't know exactly how this story content will be reflected within canon, like what's the canonical version of it, it's telling us stories that are hinted at within canon, like the mission to rescue Admiral Akbar that's mentioned in the C-3PO Phantom Limb special, or some of the things being undertaken by Lor San Tekka while Poe is searching for him prior to later. It's new stuff. It's new story. It's the first time a Lego game is actually doing that new story that's meant to actually tell us something.
That's amazing.
That scares the hell out of me, actually.
I was going to say, Mark and Nathan, I was totally about to poo-poo the idea of looking for story or canon in a Lego game, and then I just had totally forgotten about the Lor San Tekka part particularly, and remember thinking, ooh, that's kind of cool.
Well, I was joking about that with the FreeMaker stuff of like, you know, is this going to be canon? And, you know, the Lego games especially have always played very loose. And even with the whole new era of everything's canon, it was like, well, clearly these Lego games aren't. Now we're going to have story elements that are. Like, I don't like them blurring these lines. Sooner or later, we're going to have
poor Mark.
This can't be canon.
Well, they've been blurring it the other way since the announcement, really, right? Because they've been looking at the games as, well, we're just making sure it's an authentic Star Wars experience, not necessarily, sorry, my phone went off.
No worries.
Not necessarily one specific continuity or another and whatnot. So you've got like Battlefront that's not necessarily canonical in any sense, but it's there and they're making sure it's authentic. You've got the role-playing game now and the card game and the X-Wing game that are just kind of saying, here's some legends, here's some canon, blend it all together. So you got, you know, like the ghost going up against Merrick Steele and whatnot. So they're giving themselves a lot of freedom, so it's interesting that now they're flipping it the other way, and something that was always obviously not canonical, not in continuity at all, it's going to be the thing seeding things that will be reflected somehow within canon. It's the exact reverse of how they've been taking these things that usually we thought of as in continuity, and now they're saying, nah, not really, and turning it on its head.
Yeah, no, we'll track along with it as it goes. I'm super excited. I didn't realize it was coming out that soon. I've got to put together some pennies here, because I'm definitely getting that for PS4, without a doubt. And there's even two more stories that I want to touch on from E3, just because it's an E3 week, guys. One is this amazing video that was released. It's a team-up between Magic Leap and ILM X-Lab, and they basically just shot this test experiment, through the Magic Leap technology. It's basically mixed reality. It's not virtual reality, so essentially you put on, you know, the Magic Leap, and you see R2-D2 and C-3PO and holograms interacting with your regular environment. It is
like augmented reality, basically. They call it mixed reality. Yeah, it's basically AR stuff. It's, you know, they're going to show up in your environment. There are some games like King of Fighters. I forget. There was some game that was released, like, for instance, for the PlayStation Vita, where you could play a was it the Vita? No, I'm all confused. So the Vita or the 3DS, where basically you were able to play with, it's basically a fighting game where you play and whatever flat surface you're playing on, it shows it on there on the screen kind of stuff. It's an AR sort of thing, but it's cool in that, one, it seems as though it's much more interactive. It's much more able to tell what's in the environment than a lot of these other AR programs have. It's a little more robust, it seems like. It does have its own piece of gear to be able to pull it off. It's not like you're looking at a screen, you're looking at it through the glasses, which granted you could take anything that's on a screen and put it to some type of gear. I'm just amazed at the versatility of the companies involved. I mean, ILM and X-Lax?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, not X-Lax.
No, X-Lab. It's ILM X-Lab.
I'm just thinking ILM's gotten into the bathroom business.
That took me a second. I'm very excited about it, and I think it's just kind of a proof of concept. I'm very interested to see what they have coming up in the very near future. And then the last thing on E3 I wanted to bring up, guys, is Bespin. Bespin, in the words of Lando. They released the official trailer for the the Bespin expansion of Star Wars Battlefront. And take a quick listen, guys. It's pretty cool. New heroes, maps, modes, and weapons, and star cards.
The Empire's attacking the city.
I've got a score to settle.
And there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be Lando Calrissian and hunt down some stormtroopers. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I love playing on Cloud City in, I think it was the first Battlefront. I have the PC version.
Yes.
That was so fun.
I absolutely love those maps, man. Oh, and the ability to lay down and snipe people.
Yeah.
But I got to admit, the X8 Night Sniper rifle, or whatever the heck that's going to be, I already am not liking it. I get sniped too often.
Oh, no?
That shotgun.
You don't like the sniper? Well, I mean, this is a game that, you know, everything is a sniper rifle, right? Because everything's got almost infinite range and you can get killed from across the battlefield. Now, this looks pretty sweet. You've got, and I've been talking about this on the live stream quite a bit with people talking about it and asking questions about it from what news they've released. But basically, you got a couple of new weapons that are coming. We've got Lando as the new hero for the light side, so you got him with some type of ability that is related to chance, which is interesting. You have Dengar as a new villain coming, and Dengar is the first, they say first, so presumably there'll be more, the first hero or villain to use a heavy blaster, that almost like machine gun type blaster that he'll be using. We've got new maps that appear to be both small and large this time, because Outer Rim had only small maps.
They have the carbon freezing chamber! It looks amazing!
Yes. We'll be able to... it works. We'll be able to fly, we'll be able to fly cloud cars, apparently, which does indicate we're going to get more squadron maps this time instead of the ones that we have.
I really do apologize for breaking in here real quick. I have a quick question for you, Nathan, and because I hate to interrupt, because you do have the expertise on here, and I really do want to hear your real breakdown of what this is. Is it worth making the season? My real question that I will decide by the end of this call is this worth me getting the season pass? But before we touch that, can we all talk about why Darth Vader didn't just use an Ugnaught to test the carbon freezing chamber instead of Han Solo? Why wasn't that a thing?
Maybe he wanted
I think it's union rules.
You're only allowed to freeze 3 Ugnaughts, and he'd already used his quota for the month. All right, guys.
These Ugnaughts are really smart, therefore valued.
I apologize. Continue. Really, break it down. What is this worth the season pass? What does the season pass cost, and do you think it's worth making the purchase for these kinds of expansions, Nathan?
One second. I'm pulling up all the specifics right here because I want to make absolutely certain that I'm not giving you a load of crap.
No, I appreciate it, sir. Yeah, no, because I'm so tempted. It looks so amazing, particularly, I mean, Dengar. I have this weird infatuation with Dengar.
Loves the men in those headscarves.
But actually, I was going to say this took a weird turn. I meant to say, ever since I read the Tales of the Bounty Hunter story with Dengar, I've always really liked him and wanted to know more about him. So
basically, okay. So each DLC, I had to double check to make sure I wasn't going to feed you some crap. Each DLC is basically $15 initially.
Gotcha.
And they are giving free content from time to time. The Jakku stuff was all free. But in general, if you want to get new game modes, new heroes, villains, basically a whole new playlist. If you go into the menu screen, you've got different playlists for modes based on the number of players in each original game mode. Or you can go choose an original game mode from the base game. But if you want to play any DLC stuff, there's a separate thing you have to choose down at the bottom. It sends you into a playlist of just that game mode's maps with just its applicable modes, heroes, whatever. So to open up, for instance, the Outer Rim stuff, it was $14.99. And you basically get four new maps. You get a new game mode called Extraction. You get Nine Numb. You get Greedo. You get a handful of exclusive HUT contracts that can only be done by those with the DLC, whereas there are others that you can do outside of the DLC. The level cap gets bumped up for everybody to 60 and so on. It felt a little slim for $15, but it seems as though they're doing something a little more robust with Bespin, which would be another $15. Then they've got Death Star later, $15, and then a final one. And one thing that is news that did come out of the E3 hubbub is the fact that they are now saying that the last DLC is going to be in December. That was not the way it was originally scheduled. It's originally scheduled with Death Star sometime around then, but then the last one wasn't going to be until sometime in spring of 2017. They seem to have pushed it all up, which suggests to me that they're really looking for a Rogue One connection with it, perhaps a cross promotion type thing for December.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, but, though. So that's the Death Star 15, one, right? So it's perfect.
So you got 15, and you got four of them. If you were to pay for them out of pocket individually as they were released, less each time, but it's $60. You could sort of pick and choose if you wanted to and just do some of them, $15 a pop. If you buy the season pass, it's 50, which basically means you're getting $10 off. You get, I think it's an exclusive emote that nobody even uses anyway for buying the season pass. The real trick here is going to come to what happens, and we should know this within the next week, what happens when more than one DLC is available. Okay. Because right now, everything is segregated. You've got the original game stuff, you've got the Outer Rim stuff. Presumably, they're going to do the same thing with Bespin. And if they don't interact, it won't tend to really matter if you have one DLC but not the other ones, because there won't be any crossover between them. It's not like you're playing a mode and then somehow you're missing out on one thing that you could have gotten if only I had just owned that Outer Rim DLC, I'd have something else in Bespin also, kind of thing. If they start to integrate them at all, then the season pass is absolutely the way to go, because it's a cheaper way of getting all four. If you're not sure about getting each and you just want to kind of play around with it, sort of pick and choose, go with them individually. But if you plan on getting them all eventually anyway, save the $10 and spend it on something else, unless you're looking forward. And it depends on your outlook, right? It's am I budgeting for the future or am I budgeting for now? $15 now, not as big as $50 right now, but it's also saving me $10 in the long run. It's you're a millennial. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Your generation struggles with this idea of planning ahead versus the instant now thing. But
I can tell you what I'm going to do, right? I can already tell you exactly what I'm going to do.
Uh-oh. The millennial kicks in. Yes.
I'm definitely going to be going one at a time because, for example, the Greedo one seemed cool but didn't sink me in enough to do it. But this one to play on Cloud City definitely does. And a lot of that will just depend on time. So, like, I may not even have, because I'm so limited, I'm working so many hours throughout this whole summer, and then I'm traveling, I might only have time for to really get good gameplay out of one. So I'll just pick the one I like the most, and then I'm like, oh, that was fun, I want to do some more, then I'll go from there. I think that's going to be the plan.
I'm just waiting for one to have some space combat. I'm like, you know, does it all have to be inside an atmosphere?
You know where you're definitely getting Battlefront space combat?
Death Star? God, I would hope.
PlayStation VR. That X-Wing mission is in space. So all you need to do to be able to play in space is drop another $500 or so.
Yeah, that $10 now, $390 more to go.
And people were griping about that $50 season pass. How's about that $500 plus? No. Even if I imagine somebody playing on the Xbox going like, I want to play the PlayStation VR mission too. So that becomes like $1,000 undertaking.
Oh yeah.
And the mission will be like 5 minutes long. You just wait.
Oh, what's man.
With these
well, there it is.
Graphics, man.
We'll have links, as I say, guys, we have links to all of these stories in the show notes for this week's podcast. Let's get ready for some Celebration Europe news. Let's do it.
All rise for the national anthem.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Star Wars Celebration Europe is upon us, less than a month to go. And they have some announcements. Why not get some dubstep God Save the Queen? I figured I was trying to think of like what would be a great little segment as we're getting more and more Celebration news. And there we go. Hope you guys like it. You're welcome. From
Beats
me
the scout announcement song
to you. Anthony Daniels is confirmed. We're finally getting a lot more confirmation for Star Wars Celebration, including Anthony Daniels. Of course, we've all expected it. I have seen his stage.
Anthony Daniels, like, I'd be more shocked if he confirmed he wasn't coming. Like, yeah, wait, you're not? What?
Yeah, a lot of
what? You need me to do a smoking PSA as C-3PO? I'm on it.
No, what we need him to do is his stage show, which is exactly what he's doing. I saw it at Celebration 5. Absolutely incredible. Loved it. It was so much fun. But like they've confirmed that. They've confirmed since we last talked about Celebration. They've got the props and costumes exhibit from Rogue One. That's going to be there. Of course, we talked about it 2 weeks ago on the program. Dave Filoni's confirmed. Carrie Fisher's confirmed. We're finally getting some more announcements. There's still a lot more to go. But we do have a floor plan as well. So remember, there as always, as I'm always saying here, guys, do not forget, we need you. That's right, you to email us if you're going to be at Star Wars Celebration Europe. If you're going to be there and you're listening to the sound of my voice now, email us StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Subject line, Celebration Europe. What I will do is follow up with an email back to you and put you on a list, and I'm going to send out a mass email in the coming week or two once we nail down a time and location for the first ever official Star Wars Report meetup. We've had a ton of you guys email in the last 2 weeks. Thank you so much. Get in now. I need to have a rough number so that I can pick a good location, and that decision will be made in the next week to two at most. So expect the official announcement on that soon. We'll set up a Facebook event. It's going to be an absolute blast. Again, email StarWarsReport@gmail.com, subject line, Celebration Europe. And guys, I'm so excited. I will be there. I will be shooting tons of video. We will be recording podcasts, posting pictures, all that fun stuff. And so to get ready, make sure you're following my social media. It's at the Riley Guy on everything. Yeah, Instagram, Twitter, and everything else. Exactly, the Both and Shindig. And of course, not to forget, we're doing an actual show live from the podcast stage, a dual show with Trisha Barr from Fangirls Going Rogue. And we'll have the information on that as well as a Facebook event once we finish the plans. Plans are being laid now. Again, I'll keep you guys updated as we go. But man, let's take a second to transition here. I want to...
We're still talking about Celebration Europe. I wanted to point on something.
Oh, sure.
You mentioned movie screenings of A New Hope and The Force Awakens.
Oh, yes, thank you.
That was something that you know, it's something that they haven't brought up, but when I went to the last Celebration, I kept thinking, how cool would it have been to have little screens popped up everywhere that had the films playing on different ones as you were walking. So you could just, you know, stop and enjoy the films while you're taking a break and stuff. Like I think it's cool that they're doing movie screenings. Don't get me wrong. You know, huge theater, huge screen, huge, you know, that's a cool event. But at the same time, I think it'd be really cool if they had some monitors out there that were streaming some of the panels and some of the films. Like, to me, that seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, they've screened all six films back at Celebration 5. That's where I think that's the first time I actually had a chance to see them on the big screen, to be honest. I'm trying to think if there was a previous opportunity. No, no, that was like the first time. So I'm
excited,
man.
You're never
going
to get that type of fan group in a local theater. I mean, you might
get
lucky.
It's a blast.
Some of these
like, if you've never been to one of these screenings at a celebration, go. Especially if it's not conflicting with anything, I'm definitely going to hit up the Force Awakens screening.
Has there been any indication that either screening is going to be 3D? Because one of the things that screams out to me every time there's a celebration, when I'm not able to go, I'm thinking, okay, so we've had Phantom Menace in 3D. Now they're showing Attack of the Clones in 3D. Now they're showing Revenge of the Sith in 3D. If they keep doing that, eventually there's got to be 3D Blu-rays someday. Do we know anything about whether there's any kind of 3D A New Hope screening, perhaps? Is that what this screening might be? Because they said they were in process with it. They pushed back the 3D version of The Force Awakens on Blu-ray until later this year, which suggests maybe a package is coming.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. That would make sense.
Because with Celebration Anaheim, they were right out about it. It's in 3D. Like, there's nothing on this mentioning it. And I would think if they were, that would be like on blast.
Then people be like, oh, I see Greedo shot first in 3D. Mm-hmm.
That's the exact voice you're going to have to.
In 3D, his aim is even worse.
Nathan, there's something
Ray,
about that.
But have you seen Ray in 3D?
Every time someone says 3D, I think of the Muppet ride at Disney's Hollywood Studios. In 3D. They do not say on the website. Literally, they just say they stay after hours and watch the latest epic movie, The Force Awakens, presented in theatrical quality on the celebration stage.
Now,
so I don't know what theatrical quality is, but
how amazing would it be? And how much would people just absolutely lose their feces?
Their bantha poo.
If they screened A New Hope on the big screen, and it's the 1977 theatrical version.
And they didn't even tell anybody. They just did it.
Exactly. They just do it. And everybody's like, what am I? There's no A New Hope? Squee! And they just, the entire, because what better way? I mean, if by chance Disney is eventually going to do this whole, we'll actually put out the originals in good quality rather than those crappy little bonus discs from 06 and 08. I mean, what better way to do it than to spring it on people during a screening like this and say, hey, it's the original. By the way, you can buy it in 2 months for an exorbitant price.
I mean, I don't. It's the problem is that Fox owns distribution. I just don't think.
Right, still for that film.
Which means, but they still have. If they're playing A New Hope, does that mean they? I wonder if they pay. I bet they pay Fox a fee to screen the film at Celebration. If I had to guess.
See, Riley, this was all taken care of when Disney got Spider-Man on the new Marvel movie. They were like, "And we need Star Wars. You gotta make this happen."
Except Spider-Man Sony.
Yeah.
But they can make a deal. If you can make a friggin' deal for one, make a deal for the others. Unless 20th Century Fox is sitting back there flipping birds because of what happened with the digital release of Star Wars, where they put out the Blu-ray versions digitally, and the only one that still had the 20th Century Fox logo and fanfare was A New Hope, because they were like, "We don't need your logo. You ain't getting no money off of these." Rip.
That was a little bit of what's the word I'm looking for? It was a little bit clunky, a little bit awkward. It just didn't feel right.
But it was because they don't have the digital distribution rights for
the Fox logo
for those films, just for A New Hope, because they've got the distribution rights in all forms for that. But then they as soon as they could put out a digital version, goodbye fanfare. So I'm wondering if Fox is like.
But it was just like a crappy recut of the Empire end credits music.
What they replaced it with was
get John Williams in there to record a Star Wars fanfare. I thought it was an interesting choice. They went for no fanfare at the beginning of The Force Awakens. It'd be which I guess means that's what they have to do for 8 and 9, right? It'd feel really weird if they had like a special new John Williams fanfare for Lucasfilm, right? And they even tried to do that with the Marvel films, but they didn't even stick with it, right? It's not like they have the same fanfare in front of all Marvel films, but for a few movies there, they had the same one. I don't know if you guys noticed that,
But, and now it grabs images running behind it from whatever franchise it is up there.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, no, that was...
Yeah, with the Avengers music, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So there it is, Star Wars Celebration Europe. Again, stay tuned, and we'll be posting all kinds of stuff from there. And then... let's take a second. Let's reset, guys. I feel like we need to reset for just a second. I want to play this quick promo that was sent over us to us from Eric Pfeiffer over at the Twin Suns Outpost, and he's a good friend of us here, and he's a super cool guy. I had the chance to meet him at Celebration in Anaheim, so I wanted to get you guys the word out on something pretty cool he's doing. Let's take a listen.
Calling all Star Wars fans. Twin Suns Outpost is officially inviting you to the Twin Suns Expo on June 25th from 11 to 4 at Key Lime Cove Water Park and Resort in Gurnee, Illinois. Join us to meet Star Wars legends Tom Kane, the voice of Yoda in the Clone Wars, and Tim Rose, Admiral Akbar in Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. This is a free event with free autographs, panels, a 501st presence, and much more. For more information, please visit www.twinsonsoutpost.com or email Eric Pfeiffer at eric.twinsonsoutpost@gmail.com.
There we go. Excellent. Check it out. It seems like a really cool opportunity. I always like the small events, too, because it's great to get a chance to actually interface with those guys in person. I have something else very important to play, guys. And that is... Ojaba. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to go to Disney for the non-Star Wars weekend that we had here at the Star Wars Report. Make sure you check out last week's podcast episode to really get a feel for what it was like, because I recorded with Scott Rifen on location at Disney Springs. And it was a lot of fun, and I'm just not... By the time you hear this podcast, available at the Star Wars Report YouTube channel, StarWarsReport.com/YouTube, I have a vlog that I filmed of just the entire weekend and experience, as well as a behind-the-scenes that... This is not on the channel, but on the Rebel Force radio channel, we've got a behind-the-scenes video shot of their meetup, as well as live show that I was a part of. So make sure that you check that out. It's a good time. Also, wanted to say thanks to everybody who's supporting the podcast here on Patreon. Make sure that you check out patreon.com/StarWarsReport and check out the weekly bonus content. We missed last week, but we're making up for it this week. We're doing a Star Wars Rebels episode commentary pretty much each and every week for everyone who supports us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We've got a lot of cool bonuses like t-shirts and stuff, and it's a great way to make this show happen. We are very close to our next goal, thanks to a lot of you who've jumped on in the last couple weeks. So thank you so much for supporting us. You guys over at Patreon, who are patrons, just make this show happen each and every week, and we thank you for your support of this very podcast. And back to the program. How about that 8-bit Jabba flow?
That was pretty sick.
Oh, I love that song. I am a giant fan. We are quickly rolling through the episode. There's been so much stuff to cover. I want to just jump straight into the land of the bounty hunters. Mark, why don't you take us on into Boba's Bounty?
He's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
Oh, you know, I just realized that Jango Fett is the Princess Bride of Star Wars.
As you wish, but
exactly, exactly. But yeah, man, let's see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a moment and jump into the land of the bounty hunters. It's time for...
He's worth a lot to me.
Boba's Bounty.
As you wish.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Each week, we like to take something that we've been reading, experiencing, watching, listening to in the world of Star Wars and Star Wars fandom. I want to jump off this week and highlight something that I had the opportunity to do at Disney. I was thinking about just making, oh, Disney's Hollywood Studios, go. That's way too broad. Specifically, go to the Once Upon a Toy Store. If you're ever at Disney Springs, one of my favorite things that I did was I had one of the attendants at Once Upon a Store at the Build Your Own Lightsaber booth walk me through the process of building a Kylo Ren lightsaber. And we shot it all on video, too. It's going to appear as a segment on the Star Wars Report YouTube channel. But it was an absolute blast to be able to have the guy walk through it. It was a whole lot of fun, and it has really cool pieces. It lights up, and it actually wasn't terribly expensive. It was $30 for the whole thing, and I had an absolute blast. And again, check out the Star Wars Report YouTube channel soon to actually see the process of me building a Kylo Ren lightsaber. That is my pick for Boba's Bounty. Let's jump to you, Mr. Mark.
Man, I'm actually interested to see the quality of that hilt. This can be.
I mean, the building is the fun part.
True that. See, for me, it was more an interaction. We were down. My daughter had one of her dance concerts, the end of the year one, a long, long concert. And they do these intermissions. And during them, you know, you have the Muppet music playing, the dun, 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 dun. And then they started playing the Star Wars end credits. And of course, you know, I'm wearing my Star Wars sweatshirt, and the guy next to me is like, so is that the Imperial March? I'm like, no, that's the end credits, man. And my son's all like, really? Like, he just asked you that? I'm like, well, look at the shirt. Like, clearly I'm a Star Wars fan. Like, at the same time, he's kind of took a guess, you know? I mean, just because I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt doesn't mean I'm that knowledgeable in music. I mean, Riley, you know how really piss poor I am when it comes to naming. I was, like, pretty stoked that I knew that one. I was like, yeah!
That is hilarious and awesome. Yeah, well done, sir. And Mr. Nathan Butler, I think this is your debut since we've started this segment. You got anything Star Wars-y going on this week?
Yes, Star Wars in relation to the new house. So we're just in the process now of moving in. We bought a house just recently. And one, my wife took it upon herself to turn our master bathroom into a Star Wars-themed bathroom, which was pretty cool. I didn't expect that.
Nice.
Yes, she did that as my phone's going off with her texting me there. But probably cooler, possibly. Her actually taking the initiative on that one is pretty sweet. But I'm in the process of putting together what's referred to as my Star Wars room / office. So I've got a closet that's now set up with shelves specifically to hold the tackle boxes full of X-Wing miniatures, Imperial Assault, and whatnot. I'm moving all of my Star Wars, my 9 or 10 feet worth of Star Wars book towers into one room, along with my two big old towers for the home video stuff. Basically making myself a nice little nook of just Star Wars stuff so that when I'm working, teaching online at this nice desk that, good God, I still have to put together. well, once that's ready to go, it'll be kind of surrounded by Star Wars ambiance all the time, which will be pretty sweet. And I'm chronicling the development of that room on my YouTube channel, although so far it's been a lot of, here's the room. Here's the room with the TV set up. Here's a room with a whole bunch of shelves that need to be built, that kind of thing. But yeah, I've got a feeling that within the next week or so, I will have a fully armed and operational Star Wars office.
Excellent.
Did you get the poltergeist taken care of? I heard a lot of things were flying off the shelves.
Well, yeah, so I bought some of these shelves at Target that you can put pretty much anywhere, and drilled them into the walls inside the closet, which is fantastic because, you know, now that I'm not in an apartment, I can actually drill into my own walls. But they're held up by basically two braces. They don't have any braces on the ends, and the braces kept slipping out of where they were supposed to be. So last night I said, you know what? Screw it! And I just slathered some super glue onto where it connects, and those suckers have stuck now. So I need to do that to the other three shelves. But yeah, it was because I'm putting these pretty heavy tackle boxes full of miniatures. There's two of them going onto each shelf with a support in between them and a support on the far end. And it was just having trouble anytime anything would tap one of the supports or anytime that you would do something above it that might shake just the tiniest bit, it would cause them to collapse down. And nothing was damaged because the tackle boxes are heavy. But, you know, I don't want to, you know, kill a cat or something. So I need to find some way to keep them up.
That is hilarious. It's a painful process moving a Star Wars collection. And I have not done it yet because once I move out, once I go active duty and get done with college, then I will have to actually pack up everything I have here in the studio. And that's going to be an interesting process. Fortunately, I don't have that much stuff. I just have a lot of different stuff.
Well, don't even get me started on the fact that all of my books are now in stacks, mixed and matched one room, along with my home videos, and all of that those books need to go back in chronological order. home videos need to go back in a specific order too. So it's going to take me almost as long probably to just put stuff back on the shelves than it
You're
is
all
to
like Nathan,
set up the room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Patrick Butler is not unlike General Hux. And he's like, we will not
bow
to disorder. Oh, man.
This will be the last day of the disorganization.
We will not bow system of disorder.
All right,
with
all right.
Shelves that will not hold things. We will use
super glue.
Oh, guys,
all right. That's the shelves that we have built before us. I think we just pretty much took his entire speech in chunks. So we're good now.
Not that. Well done, gentlemen. All right, that puts the wraps on this week's podcast episode. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Nathan, thanks so much for jumping on. Where can folks find you and all of your awesome work online?
Well, you can find, of course, Star Wars Beyond the Films with me and Mark, and Cloud City Casino with me and Michael Morris talking Star Wars gaming and so forth, of course, on StarWarsReport.com. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/user/chrono radio, chrono like chronology, and then radio, all ran together as
Subscribe.
One word. That's where you'll find from the Star Wars Home Video Library, a guide to Disney Infinity for Star Wars fans, my many, many Battlefront live streams pretty soon. Live streams of Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens and so forth. That's where most of my content is going at this point. It's all YouTube.
Yes. And speaking of YouTube, that's where you guys want to go for us. We're newbies, Nathan. We're getting into this field. I actually finally have been shooting and editing, and so make sure you check out the non-Star Wars weekends Disney weekend vlog that I have put up at our YouTube channel. You can go to youtube.com/StarWarsReport or StarWarsReport.com/YouTube. Look at how easy that is. There you go. That's the link. Make sure you check it out. I'm very proud of the video, guys. It's a fun little montage and look at the experience. And you'll see appearances on it from, of course, the Rebel Force Radio people and Teresa Delgado and Steve Glosson and Scott Rifen. And there's a bunch of people who make appearances. And you get to see me, Teresa, and her mom meet Kylo Ren. It's an interesting encounter. We'll put it that way. I do not support the...
It's okay. You didn't need to meet my dad. He would have disappointed you.
It was more like, you don't support the resistance, do you? And then Teresa just has this evil grin on her face and says, no, I don't.
So, of course not.
You can find that out again.
Going, yeah, and he just starts beating up some little kid. Like, whoa, chill out, man.
Little kid in the background is running around being annoying. He just holds out his hand and freezes the child.
Can you imagine if they rigged pyrotechnics inside? Because it is like the torture chamber room that they have kind of a set replica of it, and they file you in one at a time. So can you imagine if they like rigged pyrotechnics so that he could lose his temper and slash everything up?
That would be...
You're afraid that you're not going to be as awesome as Star Tours.
Well said, sir. Oh, man. That's right. You can also follow the program here. It's at Star Wars Report on Twitter, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. And, of course, stay tuned to StarWarsReport.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating and review in iTunes. That always really helps out. And get the word out about the show if you're enjoying the show here. Make sure you share it with a friend. Shoot them an email. Say, have you heard of the Star Wars Report thing? That's always a fun way to do it. And again, huge salute and thank you to everyone supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We really do appreciate it, guys. It means the absolute world. And then also, I just wanted to... Oh, you can also... Mark is at IllogicalRogue2 on Twitter, as well as you can find him on Facebook. I'm on Facebook as well. And then, of course, as if you want to see the pictures from this past weekend, or, of course, all of my European adventures, including all of the happenings at... all the happenings at Celebration London. You want to be following me as well. I'm at The Riley Guy on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Make sure you add all three of those. I'm posting all kinds of fun pictures. So thanks so much. That does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Episode 227 is in the can. Thank you so much for tuning in. May the Force be with you. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. So long, folks!
I ever wonder why Riley always throws the episodes in the trash can when we're done? Or is that a garbage compactor?
Oh, Jabba.
Garbage compactor, another detention level!
Cosmo might be in one.
All right, folks, that puts the wrap.
Spell to doom.
All right, let me stop the recorder, guys. That was a good episode. That was.